Before we go into the sutta itself, I want to give a little background story about how Venerable Sariputta came to the Buddha. Because this is, I think, very important for understanding the sutta, this sutta, the Samaditti Sutta itself, for understanding Sariputta's approach to right view. I mentioned just before that the Buddha had two chief disciples, Sariputta and Moggallana. These two disciples, in these two disciples had been friends even in their boyhood. They both came from Brahmin families. They both came from Brahmin families that were closely associated with each other for several generations. And when they were boys, they were friends. As they matured, their friendship developed. And when they were young men, one time a festival was being held in the city of, or outside the city of Rajagaha. It was called the Hilltop Festival. This was like a big entertainment for the people living in the city or the vicinity. And so people would come from all of the surrounding towns, villages, to see this entertainment. There would be actors dancing, singing. In those days they didn't have television, didn't have internet. So for entertainment one would have to see these groups of traveling circuses, traveling entertainers. And so on the first day they bought their tickets, and since they were from wealthy families they got maybe first-rate tickets. They came up, they were sitting, watching the entertainments. Both of them enjoyed themselves tremendously. And so on the second day of the festival, they bought tickets again, and they went to see the festival on the second day. And so when there was a comedy, they would be laughing. When there would be singing, they would listen very attentive to the singing, carried away by the music. When there was dancing, they would enjoy watching the dancing. If there was a kind of drama, they would be absorbed in the drama. Okay, so then they decided to go back on the third day. So then they bought tickets for the festival on the third day. Then while they were sitting there, first in Sariputta's mind, a young man, maybe early 20s, there came the thought, what is the point of watching this entertainment? In 100 years from now, even less, all of these actors, singers, dancers will all be dead. They'll all have to go their own way in this round of samsara. And in 100 years from now, I myself will also be dead and have to go my own way in the round of samsara. So what use is this entertainment going to be for me as I pass on from this life to the next life? Better that I should leave this worldly life and seek a path to liberation. Okay, so Sariputta was thinking these thoughts, sitting there, when the comedy was going on, he didn't laugh. when the singing was going on, he had no interest in singing along. When the dancing was taking place, he just sat still in his seat. He didn't sway his body with the rhythm of the dances. When the drama was going on, he found it bored. His mind was wandering to these thoughts that troubled him. And Moggallana, sitting there, had exactly the same thoughts. And so when all of the plays and entertainment were finished, they were walking out of the theater together, both rather glum. And so Moggallana turned to Sariputta and said, "What's the matter, my friend? You don't seem very happy today. Didn't you enjoy the festival?" And then Sariputta said to Moggallana, "Do you know, while I was sitting here, I was thinking that these mundane entertainments, the joy, the pleasure they give, is just trivial, lasting just for a moment. And we enjoying them, we're just like cows being led to slaughter, being given some delicious grass to chew on, to eat while it's moving to the slaughterhouse." And when Sariputta said that, Moggallana said, "You know, I've been thinking exactly the same thing." And so Moggallana then said, what should we do?" And Sariputta said, "Let us go together and try to find an enlightened master to teach us the way to the deathless, the way out from this round of birth and death." Moggallana said, "But our parents, they have plans for us to marry, to continue the family. We're Brahmins, they want us to maintain the family rites, the rituals." Sariputta said, "It doesn't matter. We can't be slaves to family tradition. What's most important for us is to find the truth." And so each went to his own home, packed a few belongings, necessary belongings, and together they left their homes and started wandering all over India seeking an enlightened master, going from one place to another, sometimes meditating with one teacher, discussing philosophy with another teacher. Sometimes they would go temporarily, they would go separate ways, but they had made a pact, an agreement between them, that whichever one found the path to the deathless first would not go off by himself, but would first tell the other so that they could cultivate together. And so after traveling to many places, visiting many teachers, they didn't find any with whom they were really satisfied. But eventually they came back to Rajagaha, they're close to their hometown, and they found a teacher whose name was Sanjaya, in whose teaching they found some satisfaction. It didn't really give them the way to liberation that they wanted, but it seems Sanjaya had a very sharp intellect, and so must have given them some intellectual satisfaction, since they were staying with him. Okay, one day they set out on their alms round, setting out for alms, and they went in two different directions. At a certain point they parted ways, and went in two different directions. And as Sariputta was walking, he saw an ascetic walking slowly, mindfully, his eyes cast down on the ground, carrying a clay bowl, his body so light, so radiant, every step so mindful, so consciously taken, that he was deeply impressed by this ascetic. And he thought, this truly must be one who has achieved the goal, or is one who is definitely on the path to the final goal. This ascetic that he saw was one of the first disciples of the Buddha. He was a disciple named Usaji, who is one of the group of first five disciples, and who had already achieved arhatship. So he saw this ascetic Usaji walking from house to house, collecting his alms food, and he realized, this monk is on alms round. This isn't the time to trouble him with questions. And so Sariputta waited patiently until he finished his alms round. Then he saw him stop at a certain place, spread a seat under a tree, take his meal, finish his meal, and Sariputta just waited patiently. When he knew that this ascetic had completed his meal, he came to him and said, "Friend, I have been watching you, and everything about you has impressed me. Truly, I think you are a wise man, one who has realized the deathless, who has attained the goal. Tell me, who is your teacher, and what is the teaching that you follow?" Then Usaji said, "My teacher is the son of the Sakyan clan, an ascetic that is named Gotama. We call him the Buddha, the Enlightened One. And I am a follower of his teaching." Then Sariputta said, "What is his teaching? Tell it to me in detail." Now this Usaji was not a very voluminous speaker. He was very restrained in speech. And so he said, and he was also a very modest person, very humble. And so he said, "As to his teaching in detail, that I cannot explain to you." Then Sariputta said, now a little impatiently, he said, "Then don't give me the teaching in detail, but tell me the essence. It's only the essence, the core of the teaching, that I need to know." Then Usaji recited a stanza, which has become engraved in stone right across Asia. Throughout almost all the monasteries in India had the stanza in stone, and as Buddhism spread from one country to another, that same stanza was engraved in many monasteries, written on the walls of monasteries, it was considered the quintessence, the essential summary of the Buddha's teaching. In Pali, the verse goes, "Ye Dhamma Hetu Sambhava." ye dhamma hetu pabhava te sang hetum tathagato aha yo cha te san cha nirodho evang vadi mahasamano. I'll write this on the board. You should copy it. It's very important. Okay, ye dhamma hetu pabhava. Okay, whatever dhammas, whatever things there are that spring from a cause, that arise from a cause, te sang hetung tathagato aha. The tathagata tells their cause. Yo cha te san cha nirodho. And that which is their cessation. Okay, the tathagata speaks of that which is their cause and of that which is their cessation. Evang vadi mahasamano. Such is the doctrine of the great ascetic. Okay, and when Sariputta heard this verse, it said that even when Asaji had recited just the second line, that the Tathagata speaks about the cause of things that arise from a cause, at that moment all of the dust that was covering his wisdom eye fell away, and there arose in him the dustless, stainless vision of the Dhamma. He saw into the ultimate truth of things, and he reached stream entry, Sotapatti. And so by the time the verse was finished, he was standing there as a stream enterer. And then he asked Venerable Asaji, where is our teacher now residing? Then Asaji said, he's now staying in the bamboo grove right outside the city of Rajagaha. And then Sariputta said to him, you go on back there. I have a friend to inform about my discovery. So then Sariputta went to meet his friend Moggallana. And when Moggallana saw Sariputta coming, immediately he saw that Sariputta's face was now radiant, calm, his faculties very controlled, his whole manner was so different from the way he had seen him previously. There was no longer that look of anxious searching, but now that expression of his, on his face was that of somebody who had discovered. And so when Moggallana saw him, he said, what has happened to you, my friend? It seems, could it be that you've discovered the path to the deathless? And then Sariputta told him everything that had happened. And Sariputta recited the same verse to him. And when Moggallana heard that verse, as soon as he heard the same two lines, his delusions fell away, and there arose the stainless, spotless vision of the Dhamma, and he too became a stream enterer. And so the two of them together then went to the bamboo grove, and when the Buddha saw them coming in the distance, the Buddha was sitting surrounded by the company of monks. And when the Buddha saw them coming in the distance, he called the attention to those monks, to his monks. He said, "Do you see those two ascetics coming?" And the monk said, "Yes." And then the Buddha said, "Those two ascetics will be my two chief disciples." And then when the two ascetics came to the bamboo grove, they immediately prostrated on the ground at the feet of the Buddha, and the Buddha said to them, "Come, monks, lead the holy life for the complete destruction of suffering." And then they, just that saying of the Buddha, that was counted as their full ordination, and so they became bhikkhus. Then 1 week later, Moggallana, practicing continuously, achieved arhatship, but Venerable Sariputta took 2 weeks to achieve arhatship, not because his mind was more sluggish than that of Moggallana, but in order to become the chief disciple in wisdom, he had to explore and investigate many more things than Moggallana. Okay, now the reason why I gave special emphasis to this verse is because, as we will see as we go through the sutta, that the whole sutta treats right view in terms of the same pattern of things arising through causes or conditions and ceasing with the cessation of those conditions. But let us go to the very beginning and start going through the sutta itself.